The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
That
is good to hear. It's good to see. It's so good to see you guys online also, even though I can't see you. It's just weird to say that, but I say it anyway. I'm glad you're with us. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2, which some of you guys should be so excited about because that means that we're beginning to progress in Colossians. We're only 5 sermons in and we're in the 2nd chapter. So, you know, it's good. We're making progress. If you're with us through Genesis, then you know that we've been there forever and a day. So Colossians chapter 2, it should be on page 984 in the black hardback Bible that is near you. So good to say that again. If you don't have a Bible, then keep that one. And that is our gift to you. Now, while you turn to Colossians chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 16, where we're going to start. I want to tell you about something I had a friend of mine tell me a couple years ago that I thought was really, really weird. So I was talking to him, and he was telling me that he went to Israel, and he went to Israel over a few weeks, and he was enjoying himself over there, but he ran into something that I thought was one of the goofiest things I've ever heard in my life. He told me about the thing called Sabbath elevators. You ever heard of this? A Sabbath elevator is really, really kind of a simple concept. In a high-rise building, if you go to Israel, they have certain elevators that stop on every single floor because Jewish people believe that on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any work whatsoever. You're not supposed to do work at all in any way, shape, or form. And some of them are so ardent in that belief that they believe that if you push a button by creating light and electricity, you are causing someone to work and you're thus causing some Jewish person somewhere to sin. So they won't even push the button on the elevator. So on the Sabbath, on Saturday, they have an elevator that stops on every single floor all the way up. Now, if you stayed in Lincoln's campus and been on Dawson, it feels like just a regular elevator ride, right? But like every other bus, like you get on the elevator, you hit the number, it goes to that floor, right? But here's the funny part that's weird. They have another elevator that is completely empty. Nobody uses it. It stays closed all day until one of us, a Gentile, comes to the door. And then we, you know, being regular people, kind of look at it and go, well, nobody's at that elevator. I'm going to go over here. Wouldn't you? You would do that, right? That's what I would do. I'd go to that elevator and I'd push the button. As soon as I hit the button, it would open up and then I'd walk in and I'd hit my button. But what happens when you do that is every other Jewish person that's standing outside waiting for the elevator to come back down hops on your elevator and begins to tell you what floor they want to go to. So they jump out and go, I want to go to 11, 6, please, 3. We hit 3. And it's funny because they don't do anything to cause any sin, but they will also let you go ahead and sin for them, which seems really odd to me. It seems so odd to me that if you hit the numbers for them, they'll let you do it. But and they, listen, I'm not trying to make fun of Jewish people. Please do not hear that. I don't want you to do that because it's example what happens when we turn grace, the grace of God, into law. I think it's a great example of what happens when you turn the grace of God into law. And Jews aren't the only ones that do that. We Christians are just as guilty. And I mean just as guilty. If you go back far enough, maybe this is your mom, maybe this is your grandma, depends on who it is. Sunday was the day where you did a combination of jack and squat. Right? Like if you grew up in certain places, your mama would cook on Saturday night so she didn't touch anything on Sunday morning. Anybody grew up in a household that have your grandma do stuff like that? That was my house growing up. My mom would cook on Saturday and she would have the meal left over on Sunday. Or you wouldn't go out and shop anywhere. You would never go to the store anywhere. You would go to church. You would worship all day. If you went to church like I did, we'd start early and come home late and then go back and then come home later, right? And so you would do that all day and then you would go home and you would just be. If your yard needed to be cut, that's the only thing that was my advantage as a child. If we had any housework, I didn't get to do that stuff because it was a day of rest. I was like, ooh, day of rest. I'll take advantage of this, right? But here's the thing. If you're on a holiday or a weekend, you would make sure that you went to church. If it was Christmas Day, you went. Thanksgiving Day, you went. 4th of July, you went. I don't know what, whatever holiday. Depends on how religious you come from. But Paul is talking in this passage that we're going to read here in a second, how a lot of that is really, really goofy. I guess that's a nice way to put it. How it's really, really goofy. You see, Paul wants you to understand something that I hit on last week, and I want you to hear again. I'm gonna bang this drum until I'm dead, okay? So, like, and listen, matter of fact, whoever preaches my funeral sermon, which I hope is me, but it's a whole different subject, but whoever preaches my funeral sermon, I want them to say this, okay? I want them to say this. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You can't add anything to him. Stop it. That's literally what Paul's saying. If you never read the whole passage, this is what Paul's saying. Stop it. Stop adding things to him. Not Jesus plus wealth, not Jesus plus tradition, not Jesus plus good deeds, not Jesus plus your country, not Jesus plus your political party, not Jesus plus your race. None of that. Just Jesus alone. Just Jesus. Everybody say that with me. Just Jesus. You got to keep saying that until you get it in your heart and your soul. So many times we want to add things to Jesus, hoping that that makes you a little bit holier. And depending on the tradition you come from, you add things to go, man, if I do this, then Jesus is going to like me more and more. And Jesus is like, nah, man, just me. Stop adding to me. I don't know why Jesus sounds like that, but that's what he sounds like. Just me. That's all that's there. And he's doing this because a few people in the group, and maybe you're in this room too, were taught the opposite. They're going to try to make all these extra activities, these religious habits, these regulations they follow before they gave their lives to Jesus, they're going to try to make the new believers do them also. And so my Jewish people said, hey, we got circumcised. You have to be circumcised. And all the adult men said, no, right? No, I'm not that in. No, I'm good, right? Or we don't eat pork, but you can't eat pork. And all those who love barbecue like me are like, yeah, no, bro, no, I'm in. I'm out. I'm sorry. You see, it was bad enough that they were stuck in their old ways with themselves, but now they're trying to get everybody else to follow their example. They're saying, you have to do the things I do. And I'm not saying that the things that you learn to do are bad. I'm just saying don't import them onto other people, because that may not be what Jesus is asking them to do. It's Jesus plus nothing. Just Jesus. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul lists exactly. And I love Paul because he calls out exactly what y'all are doing. He calls out exactly what they're doing. And the points, he says, listen, I just want to point you back to Jesus. I want you to read it and I want you to hear it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you found your place in Colossians chapter 2, I want you to stand in the honor and reading of God's word. We're going to start in verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 16. The word says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, regard a festival of the new moon or Sabbath. These are shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting that the citizenship and worship of angels, going into details about visions, puffed up without reason by the sensuous mind, not holding fast to the head, from which the whole body is nourished and knit together through the joints and ligaments, grows with strength that is from God. And if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world, why? As if you were still alive to the world, you submit to regulations. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If I were to have a simple thought today, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It's this. Christ has set you free from sin, but he also has set you free from religious rules and regulations. Christ has set you free from sin, but he has also set you free from religious rules and regulations. Why don't you bow with me and pray this morning? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you have given us freedom on so many different fronts. Freedom to love, freedom to walk, freedom with you and in you. And Jesus, we need that. And so, Father, I just ask, I beg you that you give us the opportunity not just to serve you, but to humbly follow you. Jesus, give us the freedom that we need from anything in the past that would hold us back, from any worship of anything that would hold us back to those things. Give us freedom from those things so that we can just worship you. And let us do it with the joy in our heart, heck, a hop in our step, following you with everything we have. We ask this in your precious name, and all God's people would say, amen. May be seated today. You may be seated. So the Apostle Paul lists different things that people were tacking onto the gospel. Right, he gives a list. If you read through the passage with me, he gives a list, and it's kind of hard to miss it because you're kind of reading through and you're going, what are those things he's talking about? Like in verse 16, he says, food or drink. Don't let people talk to you about your food or drink regulations. Probably from the Jewish tradition is what he's talking about. But then he goes on. He says, what about observations from different religious festivals, including the new moon celebration or Sabbath day? He says, don't let people judge you based off of that. Or maybe false humility, verse 18. He says, some of y'all come with some false humility. Some of you want to worship angels and be extra about that. Paul didn't say extra, but that's what he's implying here, right? Verse 21, he says, what about rules regarding physical contact with objects? Some of us won't touch certain things or do certain things. And if you do that thing, then obviously, you know, for you, it might be a sin problem. But for other people, it's not something that I should be doing. But then he goes on and he says, what about regulations that lead to the harsh treatment of your body? What are these things that you should stay away from me? And some of these things were, listen, are just plain wrong. Some of these are just plain wrong. Worshiping angels, just wrong. You shouldn't worship angels either unless you're really into math. That's odd, right? But like, if you're worshiping angels, that's wrong. They're created things. Just like you and I, we don't worship other created things. We worship the creator. Or mistreating your body. No, your body is the temple of the Lord. You don't mistreat your body. Don't do things that would tear it apart. No, worshiping angels, again, takes a created things and makes it something that should be worshipped. And you should not do that. You don't take a good thing and make it a God thing. No, no, no. And disrespecting your body, your physical body, is literally showing disrespect for the God that made your body. He says, no, take care of your body. Other things that were listed are good on their own, if you look at them, because they're given to us and they have a place to deserve. Should you observe the Sabbath? Yes. God thought that was just important enough to make that his fourth commandment, to obey the Sabbath. You should do it. I always love and always talk about this. The year where Psychology Today literally wrote a whole article and they said, hey, we think it's good for you to work 6 days a week and take a day off. And everybody that was a Christ follower said, the Bible said that a few thousand years ago. Welcome. Right? Welcome. I'm glad you guys caught up Psychology Today. Good job. But the Sabbath is a good thing, but it's not a thing that has to be worshiped. What about different festivals and holidays? I mean, a lot of them find their roots in faith. Did you know St. Patrick's Day finds its roots in faith? Now, I know a lot of us like to talk about the green beer. We talk about it because we're good Christians. We don't drink it, right? Okay, so we talk about the green beer, we talk about the Irish cloves, but do you realize that St. Patty was using the Irish cloves to actually explain the Trinity to people who didn't know it? He used a three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity to people. He was a missionary. When he was talking about driving the snakes out, he literally was talking about driving out false religions from his country. By the way, he didn't like green, he loved orange. He was a Protestant. That St. Patrick's Day has its roots in Christendom, or St. Valentine's Day has its roots in Christendom, or Christmas. Well, I'm not going to get too deep in that. I don't want to mess some things up for people, but they all have their roots in Christendom. It's not a bad thing to celebrate those, but it also isn't a requirement to celebrate those things. If you're sitting here and going, man, you have to celebrate Christmas the way I celebrate Christmas, you're wrong. And Paul's saying that. What if I just feel some type of way? What if I don't feel comfortable celebrating that holiday the way you do? That's okay. You're not going to hell over it. No, no, no. You're just going to come back and talk about it. These are modern day religious festivals, and they can be a time of great blessing, a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving in my house is the time where the best cooks come out with the best dishes, and we all throw down, and we get together, and we tear up, right? Everybody gets a little bit fatter that day. You gain 3 to 5 pounds. It's good. For the glory of God. But like, you enjoy it together. That's a good thing. It's a festival we can do. But when festivals become more important than the reason for it, or the Sabbath day becomes so bound in regulation that it becomes more work than it is actually rest, you've gone astray. When you have to work so hard to rest, you're not resting. Resting is stopping and enjoying. It's enjoying the patience that is there that the Savior meant to honor. Matter of fact, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Christianity is not about Christmas or Easter or Sabbath or anything else but Jesus. Christianity is about Jesus. That's it. I know, you guys are like, Pastor John, didn't you already say that? Yes, I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Right? Like that's the thing the Bible does. And that's the thing every parent in this room has done too, right? We've said it about 50,000 times. Our kids still don't get it. And we keep telling them until they get it or they burn themselves, whichever comes first, right? But we keep telling them over and over and over. And I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to keep saying over and over, Christianity is about Jesus, nothing else. Everything else needs to burn up and go away. It's not about the things that Jesus is about. Our celebrations, our observances, and everything else is rooted in our faith, and it must take place behind Jesus. Everything else that takes place in front of Jesus, everything else that takes over your worship of Jesus has to get out of the way. What is it for you? Maybe it's not a holiday. Maybe it's a boyfriend. Maybe it's a girlfriend. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's a job. What is the thing that gets in the way of your worship of Jesus? What is the thing that stops you from worshiping Jesus? I saw something the other day. I asked Heather if I could post it. She said no. But I love it. It said that you should be so committed to the church. You should be committed to the church like a suburban mom is committed to traveling baseball teams. And I was like, amen. Because I watch these parents that travel with their parents. Like we were told the other day, about 2 years ago, that Aaliyah could join, my daughter could join a traveling soccer team for the low price of $600 to be on the practice squad. I said, the what? I'm looking at my pockets like, I ain't that rich, bro. What are we talking about? They're like, the practice squad. Now, if she gets on the main team, it's about $1,000 to $1,500. And I was like, y'all smoking something great. Like, I need your dealer, your plug. Let a brother know, because I don't know what y'all doing, right? And they said, by the way, that doesn't cover the traveling expenses, because every weekend we're either going to St. Louis or Kansas City, and we're going to do tournaments where they'll play 2 to 3 games, and then you're going to have to pay for your hotel. From what? What money do I have to burn a hole in my pocket and be throwing at you so I can travel team? And then here's the kicker. Here's my favorite thing. This is why I think some people in Jeff City are real high. Here's what I love. They said, if she wants a chance to play in high school, this is the path she has to take. And I was like, you high. Nah, bro. No. You must be out of your mind. But the commitment that these parents have to get up at oh dark 30, drive hours to a tournament, to sit in rain, sleet, and snow, to watch their kids punt a ball around, which, by the way, is fun. I love doing it. I coach my kids soccer, right? But to watch them do this after they drove 2-3 hours to pay for a hotel, pay for their food, to watch a kid walk out and do this thing that they will most likely never go pro in, spend thousands of dollars and thousands of hours, and we can't be half that committed to Jesus. I don't say that to shame you. I say that, what is the thing that takes you away from your worship of Jesus? What is the thing that when you look at it, you go, I'm going to do that instead of go to worship Jesus today. I'm going to do that instead of I'm going to go follow Jesus. What is that thing? You know what it is. I don't know what it is. I can't read your heart and mind. But here's what Paul has to say. All this extra stuff, all these things that you want to promote in the various forms, don't let anyone judge you on compliance to them. But at the same time, do not let it get in the way of your worship of your Savior. You have to look at it. Our allegiance is with Jesus, not a pile of rules. Our regulations are that we plaster all around us. So many times people make all these regulations within church. I know I grew up in a place like, you know, women got to have your skirts so long below your knees, right? You got to look a certain way. You got to have your hair did a certain way. Not too much makeup, but not enough, right? Not enough jewelry. Gentlemen, wear suits. I mean, I would be thrown out of church for wearing this today. Boy, I came in. Even if I was a visitor, they'd be like, yeah, go and change, bro. You know, wear your Sunday's best, which, by the way, I have a reason for this, but that's okay, right? But we want to come in and we want to say it's a certain thing that we have to do. But listen, God is your judge, not a self-appointed clue of regulation people. Not the people that walk in and go, do you have the right Bible? Your Bible doesn't look worn enough. Are you using the right version? That version doesn't look good. That's not authorized here. No. Did you do the right communion? I mean, this is the right grape juice, isn't it? Maybe it's a sit-along, it's turning into wine. I don't know. But like, is this the right stuff? Is this what we're supposed to do? Do you guys do communion every week? I'm sorry. That's too much. We do so many things. We make these rules and regulations. It's not about that. These regulations are shadows of the things to come, i.e. Jesus. But you see, the best of any of the practices can merely be a shadow, a faint, colorless outline of the real thing. Don't keep your eyes on the shadow. Don't keep your eyes on the shadow. Keep it on the Savior. The other night I was walking back with my son. We were walking back from a baseball game at oh dark 30 at night, and the lights were still on. And he looks at me and goes, Daddy, I'm walking in your shadow. And he was walking in my shadow. I was holding his hand, and we're both looking down, and we're looking at the shadow, and he's kind of jumping in my shadow. I'm making a game out of it, trying to make it fun, because he's trying to stay awake. It's 9 o'clock at night. And I'm walking back to the car, and I'm like, let's go, buddy. And we're both not paying attention. And you know what we did? This is the dumbest thing. I'm so glad nobody's around, but I'm going to tell y'all about it. It's on tape now. We were looking down, and both of us ran into a car. Because we weren't paying attention to where we were going. Now, my daughter was wise enough that she went around the car, went onto the car, to get in, and she was like, what's wrong with you two? But we were playing around, looking at the shadow, da-da-da, just hit the back of the SUV. I looked around, hope nobody saw us, and just dipped, right? But see, that's what happens when you stare at the shadow too long. When you stare at the shadow too long, you run into barriers that are not Jesus. When you stare at the shadows too long, you start looking at things that have nothing to do with Jesus, and you run into these obstacles in your life, and you're going, well, but what happened? You were looking at the wrong thing. You were looking down at the ground at the shadow, and the shadow is not the thing you're supposed to be keeping your eyes on. Keep your eyes on Christ. You see, experts will tell you all the time that these extras are perfectors and platitudes, but listen, they are self-deceived individuals. Despite all their God talk and perfect manners, they simply don't have their minds wrapped around Jesus. People will tell you, well, you have to listen to this certain podcast and make sure you read 3 chapters from the Bible a day. And by the way, make sure you get a moleskin with a fountain pen, because that's what Jesus used when he journaled all of his thoughts and prayers on the side of the mountain in the morning. Nah. Now, the only thing I will tell you Jesus probably did was drink coffee, but that's because of my bias. But like everything else, he didn't really do. These are good things. They're not God things. In my household, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's not sane, but that's what I do. I don't even know if like the Holy Spirit's up yet, but I'm up. And I have to get my reading in before I can go work out. So I'm trying to read and trying to get my life together and do that stuff. My wife is not getting up at 4 a.m. ever. Unless like we have to catch a red eye. And even then, she's going to sleep on the way to the red eye. Like, she's not getting up. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a thing. It doesn't make me holier than her. We just do things differently. In our household, we listen to Christian music. Just because you don't listen to Christian music at the same rate we do, or listen to the podcast we listen to the same rate we do, doesn't make us holier or different. It's just what we choose to do. So many people trying to be holy, or at least have the appearance of being holy, neglect the vital connection with Jesus, who is the head, Paul says, who's the head and holds it all together. They've unplugged themselves from the network of Christ, the central processing unit, if you may, and they've run to these shadows of the things that are come. They've run to all these shadows. Jesus says, I am the vine. And while there are branches coming off that vine that are ready to serve him, the vine is where you have to be connected. Are you connected to that vine? Or are you connected to all these little things of Christian radio and podcasts and great books? There's thousands of great Christian books. But have you actually read the one book that will tell you about the God that you need to be worshiping? Have you talked to him in prayer? Have you connected to his bride, the church? Or are we just playing games out here with all the Christian things we can do? We live in a society where we can do all these things all the time. But you see, wrapping your faith around all these extras is worshiping them instead of worshiping him. You're cutting yourself off the vine and trying to grow your own. You see, the society that these folks live in isn't unlike our own. They have a very strong focus on pleasure and indulgence. They have a very strong focus on all things they want to do. But what happens is they have a life wasted on extras. And without focus on the person of Christ, it's not much life. It's not much better than not having Christ at all. The second point I want to give you is this. What Paul's talking about is he's taking people to understand that Jesus is all you need. Again, you're like, Pastor, I heard this. Great. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you get it. Jesus is all you need. One more again. Jesus is all you need. Jesus is the head, Paul says. He's the head from which the whole body is supported and held together. Together by its ligaments and sinews. You can lose an arm. Just ask the Black Knight. You can lose a leg. 'Tis but a flesh wound. But if you lose your head, you're dead. That's the beauty of it. Christ says, I'm the head. He sustains us. He nourishes us. He keeps us alive. Modern science hasn't even found a way to separate your head from your body and keep you alive. Your faith is the same way. Separated from the head, you can run away. You can run around like a chicken for a while, but that chicken's already dead. All you're doing is bleeding a lot. Jesus is the reality that any practice or observation, festival or holiday, must be accountable to. Must be accountable to. You must submit all of it to him. He wants you to know that you die to the basic principles of this world, meaning that when you first take your first step in faith, then you give your life completely over to him. He has ownership now. Your accountability lies with him, not in all the rules and regulations that surround him. We don't have to maintain a perfect attendance record in church. It's funny because I'll talk to some of you guys. I'll call you up during the week or I'll text you. Go, hey, how you doing? And you know the response I get from you? And by the way, I'm saying this to all of you just so you know you're not alone. The response I get from so many of you is, I'm sorry I was at in the church. Well, I didn't text you because of that. I didn't even bring that up. I was actually texting to see how you're doing or what's going on. But there's this guilt that comes out. I'm not worried about that. My assumption, Christ follower, is that you were doing something with your time to reach out to help expand the kingdom of God. That's my assumption. Now, if you prove me wrong, we'll have that discussion, but that's my assumption. That's where I'm starting with. But we don't have to maintain a perfect attendance record at church or that's not even a commandment in the show that God that he loves us. We don't have to read the right books or listen to the right podcasts or eat the right food or drink the right drinks. We need to set our hearts on Jesus. You have to set your heart on Jesus and let him work within us. Because the extras don't save you. The extras don't save you. Guys, this is so simple and we make it so complicated. This is so simple and we make it so complicated because we think that if we don't do it this way, or if we're not a part of this denomination, or if we don't go to this little concert or do this certain thing, that we're not going to get Jesus. Listen, it's him. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Stop with all the other foolishness. Just Jesus. Stop adding things to it. Just Jesus. Listen, I'm going to put a soul tattoo up there again because I think this is key for us. It says this: Christ has set us free from sin, and amen to that. He set you up free from sin. But he also has set you free from religious rules and regulations. He set you free. He has set you free. A couple years ago, when we first moved to our house, our dog was in the backyard, and one of my kids, I don't know which one, left the big gate open. And I looked out and I saw the gate open. I ran to my backyard and I was like, oh crud, my dog's gone. I'm sure my dog has dipped. You know how they do. They just run out the door. But instead, here's what I noticed. When I came out to my yard, my dog was sitting at the gate, staring out the gate. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, it seemed odd to me because you have the chance at running at freedom, but she's just sitting here like, I'm good. So I came out there. You know what she did? She turned around and came back to me, which I was so confused. I'm like, you could have ran. Like, there are squirrels out there. You could have murdered all of them by now, right? They've been teasing you for weeks. Go kill some. Like, she's like, that was what I was thinking. But she just sat there and sat there and sat there. And I think so many of us as Christ followers do the exact same thing. We've grown up in some kind of barrier where we go, we have to function in our Christianity in this way. And God says, no, you have freedom. Or maybe we come from a secular background where we walk in and we go, I don't know what to do. And we just know this box. I'm just going to stay right here. And God says, you have freedom. Run. Be free. Go murder some squirrels. Like, go. Like, have at it. But we don't know how to do it. If you've already started your life in faith and placed your trust in Jesus, make sure you're keeping your eyes on him. Don't move it from anywhere else. Don't look to me. Don't look to the people around you. Look to him. The fun part about any relationship with anybody you have, especially your friends, is if they're looking to Jesus and you're looking to Jesus, you're going to meet there. You're going to draw closer because you're drawing closer to him. You have to keep your eyes on Christ. Make sure your eyes are there, not the trappings of faith, not podcasts or books or celebrations. Jesus and Jesus alone. And even though the message has always been grace through faith alone, culture and tradition and false teachers seem to know how to drum up in your mind all these extra things you have to do. You got to have faith so you're healthy, so you get extra money in your pocket. Stop that junk. Oh, you got to make sure you're reading the Bible a certain time of day. Only if you do it in the morning. You can't do it at night. What? What if I work the night shift? What are you talking about? Or you can't listen to that person. You can't listen to this person. You can't do... Stop. Yes, the message has been grace alone through faith alone. We're not adding to it. So many people have this attitude of, I'm doing it right. I know better. And God loves me more than you. And I'm going to ask you to repent. Straight away, I'm just going to ask you to repent. You don't know it better. You're not doing it better. You're doing it for you, and God bless you if that's where you are right now. That's not where I need to be. I can learn from you and glean from you, and I will. I definitely will. There's some things you're probably doing better than me, and I'm talking as your pastor. There's things you're probably doing better than me that I can learn from, but I'm not taking it all and going, God loves you more. No, he loves us all because we are sons and daughters of him. It's totally wrong-headed to sit here and go that what you're doing is better than me and that you have more bearing on your salvation or better salvation. No. By grace alone, through faith alone. We have to We have to pay attention to preachers who tell us that you have to do this and that and this to know this before God will love you. No! You have to pay this much, or you have to serve this much, or you have to go this certain place. I'm sorry. Listen, if I or any other preacher you hear gets to the point where they start saying that, go ahead and click off or turn off or walk away. You don't need to be there anymore. If they're not pointing you to Christ alone, get away from them. Christ alone, through faith alone. Jesus tells us the whole law can be summed up into two sentiments. All the Ten Commandments says love God, love people. That's it. Everything else is a subcategory of the two. To keep those things in mind. Love God and love people. Listen, if you want to be extra, go back in the Old Testament. There are 613 laws that you should learn. You want to learn all those word for and follow? God bless you. I wish you had something else to do with your life. Right? Like there's a Monopoly game in my house that we need to play that's going to take hours and hours for no obvious reason. Like we can go do that. Like there's much more fun things you can do than learn 613 laws and try to follow all those. Because Christ died to kill those laws. He died for all those. And Paul doesn't want us to do anything with the Old Testament law. At this point, there's nothing we can do. You see, 1 Samuel 6 and 7 says this, people judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord judges by the heart. Your heart has been circumcised. Your heart has been given to you. You have your heart in the wrong place and failed to keep some of the laws. Then hypothetically, you have your heart in the wrong place and successfully, or else you could successfully keep them all. So if it's not about the law and it's about the heart, then the legalistic person is in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. But this is not something limited to the ancient Pharisees or the Colossians. It's a problem that's limited. It's relevant today in a range of forms. Some believers think that water baptism is a necessary part of salvation and frown on people who don't do it. Some people believe that you have to dip them completely under. I had a friend who's an Egyptian Orthodox. You have to dip them seven times. I have a friend that is a Greek Orthodox. You dip them three times, one for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have a Methodist friend. They just sprinkle. We're all over the place, right? And people are like, well, you're not doing it right. Some people go, well, if you got tattoos, you're obviously going to hell. What if you came to faith with a tattoo? Now what do we do? I mean, is there a Christian tattoo removal service I don't know about? If there is, let me know. Let a brother know I can pass that on, right? Or another one, but you had an occasional drink. You even have alcohol in your house. My goodness, Let's talk about it, guys. There's so many things that we want to add on to it. In verse 23, Paul says, "Would getting baptized or refusing a tattoo or ignoring a popular book or actually do anything to remove your sinful thoughts and desires? No. No, that doesn't remove what's going on in your heart. Nothing does. You have to deal with your sin. Your sin is what you have to deal with. All these worldly things will pass away. And we will still have life in him. Paul used the analogy of the body being connected to the head. And perhaps it means if your finger was cut off, the head still survived. If your arm's cut off, your head still survived. Jesus will still survive with or without all these parts. So being concerned with what things you need to do to earn salvation is bad for you personally, because you might be cutting yourself off from the head. You might actually be cutting yourself off from the head worried about all these superficial things. Imagine a woman comes to church to pray. She's never been before. She's well-dressed. She's wearing some jewelry, makeup. A couple of the regulars, let's say here in the church, approach her and start telling her that her clothes are too showy. That it's too much. Her jewelry is extravagant. Her makeup is a sign of vanity. And obviously it was an attempt to attract a bunch of men. That's what they were telling the young woman. That's not a great Christian image to present to her. She's more likely to be scared off and never come back than to have her faith encouraged and to see Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote about this in Mere Christianity. He said, one of the marks of a certain type of bad man is that he cannot give up the thing without wanting everybody else to give it up. This is not Christian way. An individual Christian may see fit to give up all sorts of things for special reasons, maybe marriage or meat or beer or cinema, but the moment he starts looking down his nose at other people who don't use them, he is taking a wrong turn. Anytime we think that God requires us to do a certain thing, we're adopting a legalistic salvation by works system. We don't need to read a checkbook of boxes. We don't need to tick things off in order to be in order with God. I need your heart to be submitted to Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. And so many times we want to submit ourselves to so many things in this world, and you need to submit to just Jesus. The law is a shadow of Christ and Christ alone. And if you put your trust, the question is, if you haven't put your trust in Christ yet, maybe I should, matter of fact, right now I want to allow, if you would allow me to invite you to consider that maybe you've run across too many people that made our faith look like a game that you had to play in order to actually receive him. You've run into too many people that have given you a list of all the things you have to do in order for you to actually receive him, in order to do the right things or have the right emotions or look the right way. And it's not about that at all. It's all about Jesus. I know you guys are like, man, how many times am I going to say it? About 40 more times before I end. It's about Jesus. I just want you to get it and understand it. It's all about Jesus. He's what's really important. He lived the life you should have lived. He died the death that you and I deserve on the cross. And then, because death couldn't hold him, he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven 40 days later, where he sits on the right hand of the throne next to his Father, our Father, so that we can enjoy him forever. I pray that you get to know him and that you follow him and that you follow him all the days of your life. I pray that when you get to heaven, you get to see him and go, man, I followed you. Not all these other things. You. I followed you. And I submitted to you. Because he's all you need. Just Jesus is all you need. Paul sums up the whole passage by saying, all you need is Christ, the head of your life. Everything that gets in the way of that needs to die and go away. If you haven't received that Christ today, I invite you to do it. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me right now as we end our time. And let's pray. Father, we need you. All we need is you. And right now I come to you humbly, knowing that there are things in my life that I've added to your faith. And I repent of those things. Everything that I have added, Father, help me to put down. If I am convicted of it, help me to hold on to it so that I honor you. But Jesus, the places where I look to you and I try to add to others, forgive me. Give me the opportunity not just to follow you, but to love just you. To enjoy what you have provided for me. Father, for every festival you've given us, for every time of light that you have shown us, for every time that we can worship and uplift your name, Jesus, we ask that it just be about you. And that we remember the reason for everything we do. Christ, we ask for strength in this season. And we ask that we learn the lessons from the Colossians. We learn the lessons from the Laodiceans. We learn the lesson that the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us so that we can follow you all the days of our life and do it in peace and love with you. For every person in here that does not know you, for every person online that does not know you, Jesus, I ask that they come to know, have a saving knowledge of who you are and worship just you. We ask this all in your precious name. And all those who agree would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.